What an honor it is to be here. We're so very thankful to our Lord that he has afforded us this opportunity to gather before him as his children. Want to make sure that our visitors know that they are welcomed. Want you to know that it is an encouragement to us that you decided to be here. And I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Before I get in lesson, just one announcement I forgot to have added into the bulletin, and that is we will be working with the Kids Bible Hour to make fruit baskets to pass out at the end of the month for the holidays. If you're able to help with a monetary donation with that to help purchase the fruit, if you would, you can bring any donation to me or to my wife Christy or an elder, and we'll put it together, the materials, and then we'll work it out with the youth so they can put that together. So if you can help with that, we'd appreciate it. And if you have any questions, just come and ask. Thank you. This morning, do you realize, as a child of God, do you realize just how wonderful it is to have received forgiveness? You know, we were talking about worship in our adult Bible class over there in the annex. We're discussing what worship is. And listen, one of the main reasons that we worship is we gather together and we understand the salvation that is ours. Right, our hearts are filled with praise and adoration to our Father who has forgiven us, even though we don't deserve it. And he loved me enough to offer the blood of his Son so I can get forgiveness. What a wonderful, powerful understanding that is as his children. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, let me read verses 21 and 22. And give you some thoughts to consider this morning, and then we'll look at our main points here. Peter, he comes up to the Lord, Matthew 18, verse 21, and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Now, the religious leaders of that day said you only had to forgive three times. Now, Peter here is probably wanting to impress the Lord. Well, let me tell you how much more special I am at forgiving, Lord. So he's going to double the three and then add one. Seven times. And the Lord's response in verse 22, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." You see, forgiveness, in its most basic meaning, means to extend clemency, to offer pardon for an offense committed. Right? Just think of that forgiveness. Forgive. Right? It's to give something you're in possession of to somebody else, and they may not even deserve it, but you're going to give it anyways. Now, forgiveness is as important to our faith as any topic out there. Right, and I think sometimes we make the mistake of thinking, well, the important stuff is, you know, how someone's saved and how we worship and how the church is organized. Well, forgiveness, yeah, you know, but that's not as important. Let me tell you, brethren, if that's your view, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. The Lord himself ties us forgiving others to our forgiveness. Now that is just as important as any other topic. Right, so let's not relegate it to an area that's not as important, especially if we're hanging on to a little bit of unforgiveness in our hearts. That's just not the way it works. Forgiveness is it's a take it or leave it proposition. So I want to spend just a moment here by defining forgiveness. Well, what is forgiveness? So just a few things here to consider. I made myself a little list here. It's not just ignoring those who wrong us. Now remember our theme for the year, being vessels of honor. Listen, you cannot be a vessel of honor if you're not a vessel of forgiveness. And in that, just a personal test here in all this. It's not just ignoring somebody. It's not just, you know, even refusing to attack somebody. And also, it's not forgiving the sin, right? God doesn't overlook sin, neither should we. Forgiveness is not putting the offender on probation, you know, while we kind of discuss their inexcusable behavior, you know, and then promising to forget it unless it happens again. That's not what we're talking about. Forgiveness needs to be modeled after God's forgiveness of us, of my sin. You know, God has removed the notion of my sin to his account. Acts 3 and verse 19, I love the way the King James renders that. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So God forgets your sin. He puts it completely out of his memory when you obey the gospel. Right? When you're walking in the light, the blood of Jesus continuously cleanses you. Hebrews 10 and verse 17, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. See, overcoming unforgiveness, it requires great faith and an understanding of what God has done for me. And listen, all of this is based on who I am in Christ. That has nothing to do with what anybody does, says, or whatever their behavior might be, right, wrong, or indifferent. My response is always based on who I am in Christ. Right? Matter of fact, everything that we do is based on who we are in Christ, and it has nothing to do with the behavior and actions of others. So we're going to look at three main points here this morning. We're going to talk about the necessity of forgiving. We're going to talk about three different attitudes toward forgiveness. And then we're going to end talking about cultivating an environment of forgiveness. And again, I remind you, this is just as important as any other topic that we could look at. And so let's be honest here. So number one, let's talk about the necessity of forgiving one another. Right, a question we need to ask ourselves, this needs to be an honest test. Right, if we have someone out there that has sinned against us, offended us, right, trespassed against us, right, hurt us. And so another little list here. So I need to ask myself this, you know, have I really forgiven my offender? You know, do I rejoice secretly if I hear of something bad happening to them? Do I purposefully avoid his or her presence? Do I speak to him or her hesitantly, you know, only under duress, you know, if we're passing in the hall, kind of awkward moment? Do I vividly remember the wrong committed? Right? Do I sit at home and just brood and stir over whatever it was? If the circumstance arose that your offender needed prayers, would you go to God in prayer for them? Have you sought an opportunity to do him or her a favor? To go out of your way to encourage them, to edify them. All right, so just some things to be honest with here. Mark 11, if you would. Mark chapter 11. I want you to note something here. Mark the 11th chapter. And again, you know, remember, in God's word, this is a command. Not an option. It is a command that we must forgive one another. Now, my philosophy is, when in doubt, forgive. All right, forgiving one another is a command. Mark 11, verse 25. It's in your Bible. It's in my Bible. It says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Now, you got another verse, 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. There are no non-essential commands in your Bible. All right, Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Forgiving one another is not more non-essential than anything else, than baptism. Right? Or taking the Lord's Supper like we did just a few moments ago. It's not like those are essential and then forgiving others is not essential. Right? You just read it in your Bible. It's in my Bible also. Right? We consider the example that Jesus gave us. Right? There in Luke 23, when he was on the cross and he's looking down at those who killed him. Remember his words? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Remember the example of Stephen in Acts, the 7th chapter, in verse 60? Right? He was just stoned. He's about to die. All he was doing was preaching truth. Right? And before he dies, breathes his last, he says, Father, don't charge this sin against them. Heart of forgiveness. You know, an atheist once said about that passage, by the way, as you flip over to 1 Corinthians 13. An atheist, he said, you know, if there was a God, you know, why didn't he help Stephen, who prayed for his enemies as they stoned him to death? Well, the answer to that statement is, you know, he did by giving him the grace to pray for his murderers, to have a forgiving heart toward his murderers. Also, we need to understand that love calls for forgiveness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, right? Love suffers long and is kind, does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. And I love what Peter writes in 1 Peter the 4th chapter in verse 8, right? He says, above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins. And so, you know, how does love cover a multitude of sins? Well, the answer lies in the forgiveness given by those that have sinned against us. We forgive because we have been forgiven. Now, listen, if you're here this morning and you've never sinned, you don't have to listen to this lesson. Right? If somehow you figured it out, you got Satan whooped, you never have a problem, you never sin, listen, you don't have to listen to this. But for the rest of us who have sinned, we need forgiveness of our sins. When we talk about the necessity of forgiveness, listen, we better forgive others, or we already read it a couple times, we will not be forgiven. If we want to be forgiven, we must absolutely forgive. And like I said a few moments ago, forgiveness is a take it or leave it proposition. It's either forgive and be forgiven, or listen, you got free will, you don't have to forgive, but listen, forgiveness will then be refused to you. Not my words, but the words of God. Right, the price that one pays for refusing to forgive is their heavenly reward. James, the 2nd chapter, and verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The person who does not forgive, what they're doing is they're breaking a bridge in which they must pass over also. So let's not destroy that bridge with hate and malice and ill will and unforgiving hearts. Now, before we go on to our second of 3 points, and my second and third point are shorter than the first, I want us to go to our main study text back in Matthew 18. So Matthew chapter 18, if you would, I want to read together the parable of the unforgiving servant. Your translation might say the unmerciful servant. And again, this is predicated upon that conversation. Really, you go back to the beginning of the chapter a little earlier. It's about who's the greatest. But shorter context, you know, how many times should we forgive? 7 times, Peter said? No, 70 times seven. And so he's going to give this parable in response to that to teach us something. So read it with me, beginning in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And if you don't know, understand this. One talent, about the size of a bowling ball, and we're just going to assume that this was silver. Could have been gold. And if it was gold, times everything I'm about to tell you by seven. So one talent of silver was about 75 pounds, like a bowling ball with a handle. It was equivalent to 6,000 denarius. One denarius is one day's wage. So do the math. All right, so one talent, 6,000 denarius. Now what do I need to do math here? I need to times 10,000. So we're talking, what, 60 million denarius? In other words, it was a ridiculous amount that it was absolutely impossible to pay it back in multiple lifetimes. So that's the first step. Now I want you to put you and me in this, because our sins we can never pay back in multitude of lifetimes. So this represents us so far. He was not able to pay. Verse 25, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. That's you and me. When we come in contact with the blood of Christ, we obey the gospel. That unpayable debt, wiped away. Now we're going to talk about our life after that forgiveness. You know, how are we going to treat others? Is it going to be like this fellow here? But that servant who was released of an unpayable debt went out, found one of his servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, that wasn't a small amount, but it was payable. It was doable. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went out and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. Right? There's others watching. And came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you. Right, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Remember that day? When you came to Christ, you begged him for forgiveness. And you obeyed the gospel. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due. Remember, that's an impossible amount. It's impossible. So, here's our conclusion. Here's your application. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. In Amos 3rd chapter, we read, How can two walk together except they be agreed? So these passages here, they imply that we need to agree with God if we want to walk in faith. Right? Agreeing with God means that we understand the necessity of forgiving one another. Right? And it's only through our agreement with the authority of God and the realm of forgiveness can we walk in the light by the means of the blood of Christ? Simply, God requires that we forgive because he forgives us. Number two this morning, let's talk about attitudes toward forgiveness. And listen to God's word on this matter, because we read that we are to forgive in the same manner as Christ. So back in James here, you know, one of the attitudes is, I cannot forgive. You know, I just can't do it. Listen, what that really means is you're unwilling to forgive. That's what it really, truly means. You know, God's not going to tell us to do something that's impossible. You know that? You believe that? He tells us. You know, so can we forgive the absolute worst thing that anybody's ever done to us? Well, the answer is yes. Remember, your sins put Jesus on the cross. You know, consider Joseph and his brothers right there toward the end of Genesis. Consider Stephen again there in Acts 7. Right? Great men of faith. They were forgiving the greatest and most vile things done against a person. Sold into slavery and killed. Has anyone tried to sell you into slavery? No, I doubt it. Anyone tried to kill you? I doubt it. But even if they did, they can be forgiven. Right? So that's one of the attitudes. And another one is, well, I'm going to forgive you, but. Right? And then we create in our minds these rigid, self-made standards. I'll forgive you, but now you're going to have to meet my guidelines of what's acceptable concerning that forgiveness. A couple verses here real quick. Colossians, the third chapter. And I want you to note the standard here. Right? And it is a pretty high standard, but read it with me. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave who? You, so you also must do. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 32. And be kind-hearted toward one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ, what? Forgave you. Christ forgives in this manner, so we need to also, and really tells us, you know, it's a favor from me to you. Right? God cannot forgive our sins unless we forgive our offender. And none of that's my words at all. Right? We can't put qualifications on forgiveness. Right? And again, many times we put rigid conditions on forgiveness. But the Bible tells us to freely give. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, we read, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. It can't be, well, I'm going to forgive you, but I'll never forget it. Right? This is like bearing the proverbial axe with the handle sticking up still. Right? And we don't get to keep a filing system. That's not what love is. That's not what forgiveness is. Hebrews 8 and verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Number three, finally this morning, we need to cultivate an environment of forgiveness. And listen, hatred, ill will, bitterness, you know, does more harm to the one holding those things, the hater, than it does to the one that they're hating. It's more damaging to our faith. And consider once again the unmerciful servant, the unforgiving servant here. He went out from the presence of the king. And I believe that to mean, for us to imagine, that's the idea of going out from the presence of God. And then he forgot the mercy that he received. Try this real quick, just a couple things, practical things that we can do. Over here in Matthew 6. And we talked a little bit about this in our Bible class this morning here. So knowing the measure of forgiveness that has been given to you, strive to keep forgiving. Right? And if you haven't been able to, you know, offer forgiveness in the past, you know, right now is the time to offer that. Right now, in this moment, today. And ask for assistance. Go to God, ask for assistance, you know, and make sure you surely want to forgive, that you really truly want to forgive. So, you know, ask God for help, and look at the bottle prayer here in Matthew 6. Try this, right? This is the difference between saying a prayer and actually praying a prayer of forgiveness, right? So right here, remember the disciples teach us how to pray, and he's teaching them how to pray. Use this model that Jesus gives, right? This part right here, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive. What I want you to do is, you know, insert that person's name. Right? Make it very specific. Father, forgive me my sins as I forgive, you know, whoever that is, of their sins toward me. Right? Actually say it out loud. Ask God for help. Really pray this prayer, right? Practice makes perfect. You know, Jesus, again, he prayed for his offenders while suffering for our sins. He didn't pray for their punishment. Right? He prayed so that they could have the hope of forgiveness. And listen, what makes this so hard, what makes this so difficult is when we're dealing with emotions. Right? And that's what makes this so difficult. You know, we're talking about feelings and emotions. And it's only through meaningful prayer, I believe, and taking action for the benefit of your offender that you're going to overcome this. Right? And then we can kind of create that loving feeling for them. Now, I'm not talking about an ooey-gooey, mushy feeling in the heart. I'm talking about biblical love, agape love. Right? A willingness to go and do something for their benefit, that kind of love. In Luke 17, we'll go ahead and wind down here as we consider this. Luke chapter 17. Now remember, we need to forgive continuously. And again, Peter thought 3 double plus 1 was enough, and Jesus said no. Right? 70 times 70 there in Matthew 18 and verse 22. Listen, forgiveness is not quantitative. Right? Rather, forgiveness is qualitative. We're not to keep a ledger. This has nothing to do with mathematics. Right? Jesus saying, well, I want you to get out pen and paper and do the math 70 times 7, you know, and you know, that's what you're supposed to give. No, that's not the point of this. Forgiveness, it's not a matter of bookkeeping or arithmetic. For Christian love has no limits as long as a person is willing to come to you and say, I repent, I'm sorry. Right? Right here in Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Listen, there is an absolute need for forgiveness. It's commanded, right? There's an absolute need to forgive others, and we need to guard against improper attitudes against forgiveness. You know, I don't want to, I can't, I will, but, and then we put those rigid parameters on that. No, it needs to be, I'm going to cultivate an environment, a mindset, an attitude of forgiveness, because that's what Jesus did. And listen, let's just say this quickly here. and be honest, you know, and there's just some folks out there, you know, I swear, they're walking around looking for reasons to be offended. But let's not be that person. Right? Just aching to find someone to slight them in some way so they can be offended and feel righteous in a certain area and lack of faithfulness. That's not what Christ calls us to. Again, we're called to do what we do because who we are in Christ. And it cannot be based upon anything anybody ever does. And listen, if you're not offering forgiveness, it will hinder everything in your faith. It'll hinder your worship. Right? Because you haven't got to that part to remove those things from you. That's part of sweeping that sin clean from your heart that Paul talks about. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. We're talking about the Lord's Supper. Taking an unworthy manner. You didn't get up leaven in the sin. And listen, an unforgiving heart is sin. You're not going to be able to worship right. And it just bleeds into every other area of your faith. You know, let's avoid carrying a chip on our shoulder. Let us avoid living that life that's just saturated with unforgiveness. Listen, everyone's life will gravitate around a certain center, if that makes sense. If that center is oneself and an unforgiving heart, forgiveness cannot occur. And would you want to slip into eternity with hate and ill will and resentment, unforgiveness on your heart? What a scary thought. Slipping into eternity with your heart filled with all of that destructive thinking. So let's be a forgiving people for Christ was. Now this morning, offering the Lord's invitation, you know, normally we offer the Lord's invitation to those who haven't obeyed the gospel, right? Which is fine and great and all of that. But this morning, I want to flip it around and offer the Lord's invitation, a reconciliation to those who have obeyed the gospel, had those 10,000 talents worth of sins washed away. But somewhere along the way, maybe something got in your heart. And it caused you to separate from God. You went back into a lifestyle of sin, and maybe that included unforgiveness. Right? Let's take care of that this morning. Listen, don't slip into eternity with that on your heart. You can start over. You can be refreshed. You can be renewed. You can be reconciled. So that invitation is for anybody who'd like to bring something before the church, or if you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, today's the day you need to put on Christ in baptism with a responsive faith. And if we can help you with anything or just encouragement, would you let somebody know as we stand, as we sing?